Gracias, familia Hoff. Thanks, Hoff family. LMC, it's wonderful to be here for me. It's like a dream come true. Last time being here was in 2022 when I got COVID, and I stay in the famous now Hoff COVID suite in the basement. Basically, most of my time. But I'm grateful that during that time they provide, I mean, Los Hoff, the Hoff provides really, they took care of me. They were really patient with me. But I sent some much greetings to my family from Deborah and the kids. I regret that they couldn't join me this time. That's the only thing that I regret, that they were not able to come this time. But we are praying, and please pray for us that next year we can travel as a family. That will be awesome. That will be a dream come true. But I not only send greetings from my family, from Deborah, but Deborah gave me a mission. A commission, and a mission. You will find after the service some gift in your mailboxes. There are some small souvenirs or gifts from Guatemala. So I hope that you like it. So thank you for having me, and it's a pleasure for me to share the word. Thanks for Richard and Barb for letting me give the sermon. But before I get into the sermon, I want to just a few pictures. I want to share, if you don't mind, a few pictures. So especially for those of you that don't know us, so this is us. Deborah, my wife, Harris, our oldest daughter, Gerardo Jr., which maybe you don't, some of you that know Gerardito or Gerardo Jr. don't recognize him. He's taller than me right now. And he's playing basketball, which also helped me to grow more faster. And this is me. And this is the new member of our family that some of you maybe didn't know. Snoopy is his name. And that was his birthday. So my daughter, Harris, made to Snoopy some dog pancakes version or something like that. I don't really understand all this kind of thing. But now it happens that probably he's the most important member of the family. It's not me. It's Snoopy. So. This was a little bit of our connection with LMC, and that was a really, really precious memory in our heart, the moment when LMC sent us to go to Guatemala in 2022, March, and serve the Lord in Zeteca and in Guatemala, Central America. And there are other pictures here. Our small group that we miss so much, the small group. You cannot tell how much we miss our small group and our family here at LMC. And last picture, visits that have filled our heart. Some of you have visited us in Guatemala. So there are a couple of pictures there. Los Quiroa, por supuesto, and Lily. Quiroa, and that some of you know that Lily Quiroa did his research, PhD research in Puerto Barrios, which is a place in Guatemala, and she also stayed for a few months in Guatemala. And well, the rest of the family, Nestor, Ruth, visit us. Also, the Larson, which they are here, Eric and Laura also visit us. And Micah, is there playing the game Uno with Harris and Gerardito. He was stay with us for one day. And recently the bots, were there, and they knew Seteca, and so this is a couple of pictures. Thank you, LMC. You are part of what God is doing in Guatemala through us, through our ministry. So we are super grateful for this church, how this church has been a blessing for us. So if you want to know more about our ministry and you have questions, or after the service, you can stay with us in the Sunday school. So thank you. Thank you so much. Well, the topic that I want to share with you, the title is Pilgrimage and Homecoming. And it's based in Psalm 23, especially verse 6, but also it's in some other passages, but more importantly, it's based on some things, some experience that I have recently have and some things that I have been through. So every time I come back to Wheaton, it feels like I'm back home. This is, of course, because I lived here for 5 years with my family, and above all, because I have many brothers and sisters like you, which makes me feel at home. But at the same time, it is a strange feeling for me, especially now that I no longer live here or have a home here, and I'm traveling on a tourist visa. It is the feeling of someone returning home, but knowing it is no longer his home. So I want to share some thoughts about the meaning of home, particularly what it means to come home from a Christian perspective. So what does it mean to come home? First, I would suggest that coming home means we all are on a pilgrimage, constantly on the move. I have been thinking about the topic of homecoming for a while, and I have also been thinking about the fact that we are strangers and sojourners on this earth. Being a sojourner and stranger has become not only a metaphor for my spiritual life, but a vivid description of my experience as a human being. I left my country, El Salvador, 25 years ago. Long time ago. And since then, I have lived in 4 different countries. And even though Guatemala is now the place that feels more like home, I still travel with Salvadorian passport and do all the migration processes that a foreigner needs to do with all the travels that this usually implies. This experience of always being an extranjero, stranger, has made me more aware of the need to embrace the biblical reality that as Christians, we are all called to be strangers and sojourners. A reminder that we are pilgrims, that we are constantly on the move. From the Old Testament, we learn that the identity of God's people has always involved being a stranger. You shall not groan or oppress a stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Exodus 22:21. When a stranger resides with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the stranger as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Leviticus 19:33-34. The rationale behind these passages is that the Israelites' very own experience of exiles and slavery should compel them to have empathy for the strangers among them. This condition of being a stranger is likewise integral to the New Testament and to the church identity. The church is called to be strangers and sojourners, 1 Peter 1:1 and 1 Peter 2:11. In fact, the church from its birth at Pentecost included Jews from the diaspora who came to Jerusalem from every part of the Roman Empire. These groups from diaspora were precisely the believers who had the necessary skills to advance the church's mission in a multicultural setting. After the persecution in Acts 8:1, they started to announce Jesus' gospel first to the Samaritans, Acts 8, then to the Gentiles, Acts 11. From Acts 11 onwards, this multicultural community became the focus of the Lucan narrative. The Church of Antioch, composed of Jews from the diaspora and Gentiles, led by Paul and Barnabas, became the center of efforts to launch the Gentile mission through Asia Minor. In an unprecedented act of solidarity, this church also sent an offering to the mother church in Jerusalem to alleviate their need during a severe famine, Acts 11, 27 to 30. The Antiochian church gestures of solidarity recalls what the church in Jerusalem did in Acts 2:45, but goes even further. While the believers in Jerusalem sacrificed to help the poor from their own community, the church of Antioch helped the poor in a different community. There was no Antiochian first mentality here, but a deep sense of fellowship and solidarity that led this diasporic community to share with the poor of Jerusalem. This reminds me that an integral part of Anabaptist tradition also relates to the experience of diaspora and exile. More than many other Christian movements or communities, Mennonites know better what it means to live as strangers and sojourners. Today, we also live in a world full of strangers who are constantly on the move. As the sociologist Sigmund Bauman put it, these strangers are knocking at our doors. Migration is by no means a novel phenomenon. However, the current migration crisis has reached unprecedented levels, as Bauman observes. What has happened most recently is an enormous leap in the numbers added by refugees and asylum seekers to the total volume of migrants knocking at our doors. Bauman expects that this flood of strangers will increase even more in the near future. The reaction to strangers has always been marked by fear. Today, however, this fear has increased and is being exploited by politicians, especially those who run a platform that emphasizes nationalism. Given this scenario of diaspora in which people are constantly on the move, we need to rethink what it means to be a Christian and what it means to come home. If an integral part of our identity is to be strangers and sojourners, this means we are also called to identify with those strangers and sojourners in our midst. We also need to provide spaces for them so that during their difficult journey, they can find a home, even though it is a provisional one. Humanity is in crisis, and there is no exit from that crisis other than being in solidarity with one another as fellow sojourners, humans. We also must embrace our vocation of being strangers and sojourners and recognize that as a church, we need to be constantly on the move. We never should settle down. If we do that as a church and also as individual Christians, we will die. Last time, when I was in Wheaton recovering from COVID-19 in Hoff's famous COVID suite, which I already mentioned, I woke up one morning with a call from my father, a telephone call, who lives in El Salvador. My father told me, he passed me the news that his dear cousin, my uncle, passed away. I already knew that my uncle's health was decaying, but what struck me was something my dad told me that morning on the phone. My father said to me, his health, my uncle's health, gradually deteriorated. He didn't want to leave the house anymore. He spent all his time sitting in one place. He stopped moving. That last phrase, he stopped moving, prompted me to quickly get out of my bed and go for my last walk in Wheaton. As I was walking in a park, listen to the birds. A verse from a song by Uruguayan songwriter Jorge Drexler, titled Movement, came to my mind. Let me share some lyrics from his song with you. We are alive because we are in motion. We are never still. We are nomadic. We are parents, children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren of immigrants. What I dream is more mine than what I touch. I'm not from here, but neither are you. From nowhere at all, a little bit from everywhere. I believe we are alive as a church because we are in motion. The moment we stop moving, we die. The story of the early church is all about being constantly on the move. When the church was settled in Jerusalem, God sent a persecution, and people were scattered all over the Roman Empire. Also, the early church's identity was one of being from nowhere at all and a little bit from everywhere. As the letter to Diognetus points out, Christians become strange people who dwell in their own countries, but simply as sojourners. As citizens, they share in all things with others and yet endure all things as if foreigners. Every foreign land is to them as their native country, and every land of their birth as a land of strangers. Thus, my first point is that coming home means we are on a pilgrimage, constantly on the move. And then my second and last point is that coming home also means we seek a place we cannot find here. We seek a place we cannot find here. There is a saying that goes, never go back to the place where you were once happy. And yet, that was precisely what I did in 2022, the last time I traveled to Wheaton and got COVID. Maybe the phrase is accurate. Although I believe the saying is true, or partly true. In my case, it was not entirely true. And let me explain why. Now, I understand that I needed, during that time, in 2022, I needed to return to Wheaton during that time to close a season of my life. Although it was indeed a wonderful season, it had already ended, and I needed to fully recognize it. This is not to say that my connection to Wheaton ceased to exist. On the contrary, now I feel more connected than ever to this place, with COVID-19 included. But without apprehensions and longings. The place, my community of faith, all of you, LMC, my friends, brothers and sisters, will always be with me wherever I go. But now I fully realize this beautiful place is no longer my home. I also understood something which I think is even more important, that the real trip back home for me was another journey. Not to Wheaton, not even to Guatemala or El Salvador, no. The journey that God wanted me to take was a painful but necessary journey within myself to the depths of my soul. It was a trip to face my fears and anxieties, close a cycle and continue my pilgrimage. Perhaps this is the most important lesson that as Christians we all shall learn, that in this world we never will feel completely settled because our true and permanent home is somewhere else. Meanwhile, we are constantly moving, journeying towards that place where our Father finally will tell us, welcome to your true home. I was reminded of this lesson recently. As some of you know, my mother recently passed away on September 10th. The last time I visited my mother, I had a unique experience, beautiful experience. I stayed with her alone to eat and take care of her while my sister and the rest of the family ate some pupusas. If you don't know what pupusa is, you should ask Jamie or Nestor Quiroz and they can take you to a really good place. It's a food, typical Salvadorian food. I took advantage of the moment to tell my mother how much I love her and to pray with and for her and to remember her to her the promise of the Bible about the resurrection. I already had a feeling during that moment that this will be the last time I will be alone with her. I wasn't wrong. That's when it occurred to me to recite Psalm 23 with her. This psalm is a significant psalm in my life because it was the first psalm she taught me to memorize when I was a kid. But now, interestingly, the roles were reversed. It was no longer her reciting the psalm to me and repeating it. Rather, it was the other way around. I was reciting the psalm to her, and she was repeating it. Suddenly, when we got to the psalm's end, I felt like she repeated with greater emphasis and conviction. This experience reminded me afterward that our true home is not in this life and in this world. Our true home is not Wheaton, Guatemala, El Salvador, or whatever part of the world you live in. This is not our final destination. We are seeking a place we cannot find here because it is beyond this world. I love Psalm 23 translation by Eugene Peterson in the Message, the version that Rebecca read us, especially verse 6. And let me say it again, this verse 6 in this translation. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. And one of the reasons I like this version is that it captures something that other version doesn't capture, which is that we are not only going to our father home, but we are returning. We're going back to our true home. We return, and this idea of return, I think it is present in the Hebrew, and I think it's important to remember where is our true home. My mother is finally back home to be with her father, our father, forever. I hope I will meet up with her someday. Meanwhile, I'm reminded that as a Christian, we are presently on a pilgrimage called to live as a stranger and sojourner in this world, constantly on the move and in solidarity with all those who are strangers and sojourners amidst us, until the day that we finally will hear from God, welcome to your true and final home. God bless you.